This is Audible.
Something in the Way, written by Jessica Hawkins, narrated by Andy Arndt and Zachary Weber. Chapter 1, 1993. Lake. It seemed unfair, spending 3 hours a day in a classroom during summer, only to wait another 30 minutes in the parking lot. There were things I could do about that, like walk home, or tell my parents my older sister was always late to pick me up. But either of those would inevitably lead to an argument or two. Dad would yell at Tiffany. She'd take her punishment out on me. It wouldn't do much good now anyway, with only 2 days of summer school left. I hadn't gotten my license yet, so what right did I have to complain? Instead, I did what I had every other afternoon and took out one of the books I needed to read before summer ended. Some pages later, Tiffany came around the corner, screeching to a stop at the curb. "Get in," she said, as if I were making her late for something, even though I'd done nothing but wait in that same spot for 45 minutes. "Come on, hurry up." Gainfully unemployed, my 19-year-old sister lived at home, ate Mom and Dad's food, and had an allowance my dad constantly threatened to cut off. She had one job only: take me to and from school. Rolling through stop signs on the drive home, she explained the rush. "If Brad calls, I don't want to miss it. I've been waiting ages for him to ask me out." It would have been easy not to care that she was driving 15 miles over the speed limit. The windows were down, the breeze warm, and there were still 6 weeks left of summer. But Tiffany knew better. "You're going to get pulled over, and Dad'll take your car away," I said. "Maybe for a day, but I'd get it back." "Can't you just call Brad and ask him out?" "Not unless I want to look desperate," she said with an air of knowing, as if she were imparting wisdom. In a way, she was. I had no idea about these things. "You want to watch music videos later?" "I have reading to do." "You've been reading or doing homework all summer," she said. "Your class is practically over. Relax." University of Southern California wasn't looking for relaxed students. According to Dad, summers were for weeding out the lazy kids, like my friends, who were probably at the beach. "I will, in 2 days." "Then we should do something this weekend, something cheesy like the Fun Zone at Balboa. Get ice cream bars like we used to when we were kids." One thing about Tiffany, I could never predict what she'd say next. Most days she didn't want me anywhere near her. Others, she'd burst into my room, hop on my bed, and ramble on about her day. She had only two speeds: annoyed older sister or best friend. I preferred the latter, unless I was in the middle of studying for something important. "Maybe," I said. With an eye roll, she turned up the radio for Runaway Train and sang all the way home. She parked along the curb of our cul-de-sac, close to the next-door lot where they were doing construction. One of the hard-hatted men whistled at us. "Hey, Blondie." Tiffany looked through her window. "What?" "Come here a sec." Why should it surprise me that Tiffany responded? If a man had eyes and they were aimed in her direction, she noticed. That might not have meant much if it only happened once in a while, but Tiffany was a California beauty through and through. There'd been a lot of arguments about the construction since it had started earlier that summer. My father didn't like the noise, the dust, or the men he was sure were looking at my mom and sister. It hadn't involved me, so I hadn't paid much attention. But if he'd been that upset about the men looking at Tiffany, he definitely wouldn't want her talking to them. Tiffany slanted the rearview mirror, brushing her bangs side to side and forward again. She puckered her lips. "You have any lipstick?" I carried tins of Candy Kisses lip balm in my backpack, flavors like cherry vanilla, bubblegum, and my favorite, watermelon. Here I was entering junior year of high school, and I was still too young for makeup. Even though my friends wore it. Even though Tiffany had been granted that privilege the summer before her freshman year. I didn't care too much about stuff like that, but I was still a little protective of my lip balm. My allowance was finite. I rummaged through my pencil pouch until I found cherry vanilla and handed it over. It was nothing to Tiffany, who dug her finger into it, spread a ton over her lips, smacked them together, and tossed it into my lap. "Thanks." She got out of the car, her Steve Madden platforms wobbling as she stepped over the curb into the dirt lot. I slung my backpack over my shoulder and went to interrupt her conversation with the construction worker. "We're not supposed to be over here." "Then why don't you go inside?" she asked without looking at me. It wasn't a suggestion. The man looked down her top. "And leave you out here alone?" I asked. She'd rolled the waistband of her black denim skirt dangerously high. A short skirt and platforms didn't seem like the kind of thing you wore around a construction site, but what did I know? Less than most 16-year-olds, Tiffany would say. 19-year-olds, though, they knew a lot about a lot, particularly how to dress around men. "How long does it take to build a house?" she asked him, sweeping her bangs aside. Realizing her mistake, she fixed them again. She spent at least 10 minutes in the bathroom every morning plucking at them, fashioning them into a casual curl.
"Depends. We're pretty quick."
He laughed into his fist. I looked behind us to see why. One of the workers had cocked an electric drill in front of his crotch. It spun around as he jutted his hips back and forth. It was stupid, but the other men on the site laughed. I fingered the thin gold bracelet around my wrist, a birthday gift from Dad. Tiffany and I didn't always get along, but I didn't want to leave her in a dangerous situation. These men were big and dirty. They were making me nervous. "I thought you were waiting for Brad's call." Tiffany opened her mouth, probably to tell me to go away, but then shut it. "I have to go," she told him, whirling around.
"Hey, wait," he called after us.
We went up the brick and concrete walkway to the front door. My parents' house wasn't a mansion or anything, but my classmates gawked when they came over. With palm trees, a perfectly manicured lawn, and a 3-car garage, our 2-story home fit in with the upscale Newport Beach neighborhood. It curved gracefully at the end of the cul-de-sac and even had a pool, despite the beach being a 10-minute drive away. "Why were you talking to him?" I asked Tiffany. "We're not supposed to."
"Are you going to tell Dad?"
He'd said to stay away, but when did Tiffany ever listen to him? Or anyone who knew better? If I brought it up, it'd only start a war at the dinner table.
"No."
"Good." She unlocked the house. "Problem solved." The next day, Tiffany forgot to pick me up altogether. After an hour passed, I hoisted my book bag and wandered home. It was hot outside, but summer was supposed to be hot, so it felt good. Living miles from the beach, we got some breeze, and our neighborhood was safe, even by my dad's standards. I could have walked home with my eyes closed. I'd grown up here, had explored nooks and crannies with friends who'd come and gone, played baseball in the cul-de-sac, run away to the Reynolds treehouse when I'd gotten a B- on a math test. Aside from all that, though, had my eyes been closed, I would have known I was home by the telltale sounds of the construction site. My heart rate kicked up as I approached the lot. At dinner the night before, Mom had asked why my bracelet wasn't on my wrist since I rarely took it off. The most likely explanation was that I'd lost it while fidgeting yesterday. Dad had warned me it was expensive when he'd given it to me. I kept my eyes down, even though there was no reason for the men to notice me. Mom had told me years ago that one day I'd look like my older sister. That day hadn't come yet. My limbs were too gangly, my dishwater blonde hair wasn't highlighted. I didn't even have breasts. My mom had gotten hers at 17 and kept assuring me they'd come. Retracing my steps from where Tiffany had parked the day before to the dirt lot, I bent at the waist and searched for hints of gold.
"Hey,"
one of the men said. His voice was so deep, it gave me goosebumps on the inside, if that was even possible.
"I found it. Here."
Slowly, I turned. The enormous hand in front of me had dirt under the nails, and my delicate gold chain coiled in its deep valley.
"It looks valuable," he said.
I squinted up and up and up at him. I had only 2 concepts of men. One's my father's age, like my teachers, and the boys I went to school with. This one didn't fit into either category. He was bigger than my dad, bigger even than our vice principal, who was the tallest man I knew. I couldn't quite see his eyes under his hard hat, so I looked at the rest of his face. Black scruff nearly hid the dent in his chin. His nose was strong and hard with a noticeable bump. "It is," I said. He held it out. The sleeves of his charcoal-gray T-shirt had been ripped off at the seams. His arms were like the guns Dad displayed in his study, hard, defined, chillingly powerful. The more my father warned me off the weapons he kept locked behind glass, the more I just wanted to touch one to see how it'd feel. I didn't move an inch, my heart beating harder.
"It's all right," he said, nodding. "It's safe."
I opened my hand. He poured the bracelet into it, and I put it in my pocket. He removed his hard hat. He'd rolled and knotted a red bandana around his head, but it didn't seem to do much. He had a lot of thick, black hair that spilled over. Picking up his shirt, he wiped his temples, giving me a glimpse of his hard, rippled stomach, and a smattering of fine, dark hair. He dropped the hem immediately, but I averted my eyes anyway.
"Sorry," he said.
"For what?" I asked the pavement.
"If I made you uncomfortable."
He removed the bandana and used that on his face instead. Dirt smeared across his olive skin. He was making it worse. I could see his eyes better now, dark brown like soda pop, but against the sun, there were lighter flecks, gold as the chain in my pocket. My stomach tightened. I was uncomfortable, but him knowing that made it worse. He pulled a pack of cigarettes from his back pocket and hid it against his palm.
"You should get the clasp checked," he said before he walked away.
I made it all the way to the front door when I remembered I didn't have my house keys. I could picture them on my desk between my phone and a stack of sassy magazines. I hadn't even thought to take them this morning. Why would I? Tiffany was supposed to be with me. Even the gate into the backyard was locked. Dad had been extra diligent about securing the house since construction had started. I shuffled back down the walkway, sat on the curb, and took out my book. Somehow I could sense the man watching me. I wanted to look back. I liked his dark eyes, and how he looked scary, but he'd done something nice for me. I read the same paragraph 3 times and still didn't know what it said, so I gave in and glanced up. He sat on a brick wall that surrounded the lot, his hand cupped around a lighter as he lit the cigarette between his lips. He wasn't looking at me. I realized what was bothering me. I hadn't thanked him for returning the bracelet, and that was rude. I closed my book and got up. This time, he did watch as I walked back along the street toward him. "Thanks," I said from the curb.
"For?"
I put my book under one arm, took out the bracelet, and showed it to him. "You could have kept it. I wouldn't have known."
"What would I do with women's jewelry?"
he asked. "Give it to your girlfriend." I pretended to concentrate on getting the bracelet on so he wouldn't see me blushing. The longer he was silent, the more uncomfortable I got. I had no idea how he'd taken the comment. Unable to help myself, I finally glanced up at him. "Or your mom. Or a sister."
"If I'd kept your bracelet, I would have taken it to a pawn shop."
Heat soared up my chest, right to my cheeks. A pawn shop? If he hadn't seen me blushing before, he definitely did now. I'd never heard of a pawn shop. Well, I knew what porn was. Boys at my school bragged about looking at it. My dad got Playboy in the mail. But what kind of things did a shop sell?
"You get locked out?"
he asked. I stepped onto the lot. "My sister has the key." He nodded. I wasn't sure what to make of him. Because he was older and bigger, he seemed unapproachable, but I wanted to talk to him anyway. He took a drag of his cigarette.
"What are you reading?"
I gave up trying to get the bracelet on. "The Grapes of Wrath."
"The one with the farmers?"
"It's about the Great Depression," I said.
"Why'd you pick that?"
"Because it was next on the list." His forehead wrinkled.
"The list?"
I walked a little closer to him, holding my unclasped bracelet in place. "Required summer reading." He stubbed out the cigarette he'd just lit.
"You want to sit?"
The wall probably only came up to his waist, but for me, it was tall enough that I wasn't going to embarrass myself by trying to get up. "I'll stand."
"So this list, you just go in order one by one?"
he asked.
"What if you're in the mood for something different?"
Was anyone ever in the mood for the Great Depression? This paperback had taken me longer to read than any other book so far, and not just because it was almost 500 pages. I hadn't thought to tackle the list any other way. I guess I could try something else.
You're not enjoying it.
My mouth went dry just thinking about all the lengthy descriptions, traveling across country, drought, dust. There's a lot of information.
Put it down for a while. Try something else. Maybe something not on the list.
Can't. School starts in 6 weeks, and there are more books after this.
You could always do what I did and watch the movie.
I balked. I can't do that.
Why not?
That's cheating.
Huh.
The ends of his grease-smudged jeans grazed the bottoms of his worn boots. Where did they carry pants long enough for so much leg? His T-shirt must have been through the wash hundreds of times, faded to the point I could barely make out a rainbow streak across it. I squinted to read it. What's Pink Floyd?
What?
He glanced at me and then down, pulling the fabric taut with one hand.
It's a band. You never heard of them?
I shook my head as my cheeks warmed. I shouldn't have asked. Tiffany knew all the latest bands, watched all the music videos, and I tried to keep up, but there were so many. Nirvana was the one Tiffany loved most. Why couldn't he have been wearing a Nirvana shirt? I knew most of their songs. I'd heard them through the wall enough times. I don't listen to the radio much.
Me neither. There's some pretty bad stuff out there.
I smiled a little. Tiffany was all about her CDs. Saying you didn't like music was like admitting you weren't cool. Everybody had something to say about the latest album or some underground band or the song of the summer. I play a little piano, I said, but I'll probably stop.
How come?
I'm not any good. Anyway, my sister says piano's for geeks. He studied me a few seconds and then nodded toward my parents' house.
Was that your sister yesterday?
Of course he wanted to know about Tiffany. It should have occurred to me earlier that she was the reason he'd talked to me, but for some reason it hadn't. Even though I was pretty sure he was around Tiffany's age, he seemed more mature. I nodded. Tiffany, she'll probably go out with you.
Yeah? How do you know?
She goes out with lots of guys. His heavy black brows fell.
What do you know about who she goes out with?
She tells me.
Tells you what?
About who she likes and stuff.
And stuff.
With a grunt, he reached into his back pocket, took out another cigarette, and stuck it in his mouth without lighting it.
You should stay out of your sister's business.
I jutted my chin out. He sounded just like my dad, except when Dad said it, it was an order, not a suggestion. Dad made Tiffany's business sound filthy, like I might go looking for it in the garbage cans out back.
Look at that.
The cigarette sagged from between his lips as he glanced at my feet.
You dropped it again.
I followed his eyes to where my bracelet had fallen in the dirt. Damn. I picked it up and tried again to get it back on.
Come over here, he said. Let me do that.
I breathed through my mouth. What?
The clasp, he said.
My heart skipped as he beckoned me. I took a few tentative steps and held out my arm, the chain dangling precariously. He moved the unlit cigarette from his mouth to behind his ear, then leaned forward and turned my forearm face up. He could crush my wrist with one hand, I was sure of it. It took him several tries to even get the two ends between his huge fingers. He squinted, muttering under his breath. His calloused palms brushed over the thin skin of my wrist until goosebumps traveled up my arm and my insides tightened up. The ends slipped from between his fingers over and over. His knee brushed my ribs, and I flinched.
Sorry, he said.
I was pretty sure with a little more focus I'd have better luck with the bracelet than he was having, but I didn't want to stop him. An unfamiliar tingle made the hairs on the back of my neck stand up. It wasn't as if I'd never had a crush. Like my friends, I blushed when a senior said hi in the hall. I got giddy when someone like Corbin Swenson, the most popular boy in school, acknowledged our table in the cafeteria. But the boys at school were just that, boys. Tiffany liked to tear out pictures of celebrities and tape them to her wall, Andrew Keegan, Luke Perry, Kurt Cobain, and this man was as wall-worthy as he was sweaty, dusty, and quiet. He grasped me, his tanned hand covering more than half of my white forearm.
"Hold still."
Men of his age or size were never this close to me. I hadn't moved. I was certain of it. Finally, he got the two pieces to connect.
"How's that?"
I gave my wrist a shake to make sure the bracelet was secure. "Good, I think."
"You walk home from school a lot?"
"What?" He nodded at my backpack.
"Didn't you walk?"
"Today was the first time." He tilted his head back, looking down his nose at me.
"Probably shouldn't be walking home alone. Or at all, maybe."
"It's not far. I don't have my license yet." He knocked the heel of his boot against the brick, looking anywhere but at me.
"But you're old enough?"
I almost asked how old he thought I was so I could tack "what about you" onto the end, but what if he guessed too young? I suddenly regretted my T-shirt, high-necked and white cotton with a round yellow happy face in the center. I'd bought it from a record store, so it wasn't really childish, unless, I realized, a child was wearing it. On Tiffany, it would look cool, but I was flat-chested. Suddenly, a year seemed like a lifetime to wait for breasts. "I'm old enough," I said. He looked as though he expected me to continue. "I'm 16, but I have to get a certain number of behind-the-wheel hours with my parents." Tiffany was a licensed driver and could take me, but she'd had 2 speeding tickets and a fender bender in the last year alone. My dad would never allow her to teach me. I shifted feet. "We started, but I haven't had time lately."
"You haven't? Or your parents?"
I went to answer, but stopped. Dad usually worked until past 7. Mom was probably showing houses or at some meeting. I had time now, but there were 100 other things I should be doing, like reading from the list, studying for SATs, or volunteering. We've all got stuff going on.
"What keeps a 16-year-old so busy?"
"College prep," I said in the same tone Tiff said, "duh." "Do you go to school?"
"At night."
"Oh, like community college?"
"Yeah."
He let his posture fall and laced his hands between his knees.
"You sure you don't want to get up here? That backpack's as big as you."
I looked around, as if someone might be watching. "I don't think I can." He gestured for me to come closer. When I was at his feet, he took my backpack off and dropped it. It landed on the ground with a thud, disturbing the sand into a cloud.
"Christ, what's in there, rocks?"
I unzipped it to put the Grapes of Wrath away and showed him the inside. "More books."
"Figures. You need to lighten your load, like me."
From his back pocket, he pulled a paperback small enough to fit in one of his big hands. I read the title, The Metamorphosis. "What's that about?" The cover had what looked like a huge cockroach on it. He studied it, his eyebrows drawn.
"To be honest, I'm not sure yet. It's weird. I'll get back to you."
I wrinkled my nose. Nobody I knew ever called a book weird. My English teacher and classmates were always using words like abstract, poignant, or metaphorical. It was so unheard of that I started to laugh. Without any warning, not even a grunt or a word to prepare me, he lifted me by my waist and sat me on the wall like I weighed 100 pounds. Well, I about did, but that wasn't the point. He was strong, all dirt and grime, long and lean, his face and arms bronzed by the sun. He could pick me up. He could throw me if he wanted to. He could probably put me over his shoulder and walk 1,000 miles without running out of breath. My urge to slide closer to him was as strong as my urge to jump down, run inside, and hide in the house where men like him only existed in my glossy magazines. The hard brick didn't give much of a welcome. All at once, I was an absolute and nervous mess about sitting next to a man. I didn't think of my dad as a man, and certainly the boys I went to school with weren't. The sun beat down on us, and he smelled of heat and sweat. It wasn't bad.
"What's your name?"
he asked. "What's yours?" He wiped his palms on his jeans.
"Manning."
"Lake." The cigarette was back in his hands. He rolled it, flipped it around, tapped it against his knee. Everything but smoked it. "Are you trying to quit?" I asked.
"Quit what?"
Smoking? My feet dangled over the wall. You look like you really want to smoke it. He returned it behind his ear.
Lake,
he said, as if trying the word out.
And your middle name?
That I'd never reveal. I hate it. He turned his whole body to me.
Tell me.
It's ugly.
How can a name be ugly?
Trust me, it can, I said simply. Mom liked to remind me it was a family name when I talked like that, but I didn't care. Family or not, Dolly seemed like a babyish name. And it was no better than the stuffy-sounding Dolores from which it came. He half-smiled, one corner of his mouth lifting. That was the first I saw of his straight white teeth. My heart skipped. Under the dirt, the sweat, the calluses, he was handsome. I'd known it already, peripherally, as I knew the direction of the beach or the artwork hanging in my dad's office. But now it was right in front of me. I couldn't miss it. His forehead creased with lines.
Careful, or it'll come off a third time, he said.
It took me a second to realize I'd been twisting my bracelet around my wrist.
This time I might not give it back, he said.
You'd take it to the pawn shop? It came out fast, breezily, before I could think about it. But it was probably the most brazen thing I'd ever said.
The what?
He asked, pulling his entire upper body away. I widened my eyes at his incredulous stare. You said you'd take it to a pawn shop.
Pawn,
he pronounced slowly.
P-A-W-N.
I shook my head. I was still confused. I don't know what that is. He blew out a sigh and glanced up at the sky.
It's a place you can take valuables for quick cash. Never mind.
Oh. My embarrassment was palpable, like an anvil on my chest. The silence made it worse.
You can go if you want,
he finally said. Did I want to? Since I'd come over here, my impulses had ping-ponged between smiling and shaking and lots else. Everything felt different. Even the house they were building looked further along than it had been yesterday. Nobody seemed to think it was weird, me sitting here with him. Do you want me to? He kept his eyes forward.
You remind me of my younger sister.
I thought you said you didn't have one.
When?
I thought back to the conversation earlier. I'd suggested he might have given the bracelet to someone like a girlfriend or sister. Maybe I hadn't said sister. I shook my head. Never mind. With the squeal of tires against pavement, I checked over my shoulder. Tiffany's BMW zoomed in our direction. I wasn't supposed to be out here. I didn't think Tiffany would tell Dad, but I didn't want her to see me and come over. I also wasn't ready to go inside. Tiffany parked at the curb. I sucked in a breath and held it, sitting as still as possible, hoping to blend in with my surroundings. After all, Tiffany overlooked me all the time. I should have known she wasn't in the habit of overlooking attractive men.
Chapter 2. Lake.
Tiffany shut the driver's side door of her BMW and started across the construction lot to where Manning and I sat on the wall. Manning leaned his elbows onto his knees and watched her approach. My sister had that effect on men. They were always looking over or around me to see her. What did he think when he looked at her? What did he notice first? I'd spent my life hearing how beautiful my sister and mother were, and had been told I looked like them enough times to believe I might also be attractive. Someday. What I didn't have usually didn't bother me. Things like lipstick and hairspray and shopping had always seemed stupid compared to books and grades and college applications. Watching Manning's face as Tiffany approached, I began to wonder if that was true. I'd never doubted my own attractiveness more. "Sorry I was late," she said to me as she looked Manning over. "I went by the school." "I walked." She stopped in front of us, shielded her eyes, and put a hand on her hip. "What are you doing out here?" I shrugged casually, but inside, fervently prayed she wouldn't send me home. "He found my bracelet." "I didn't know you lost it." Tiffany glanced from my wrist to the cigarette in Manning's hand. "You're smoking?" I shifted on the brick wall. "No, of course not." "You can tell me. I smoked sometimes at your age. It's normal.
She wasn't,
Manning said, his voice smooth, deep.
And smoking at her age isn't normal.
Tiffany wrinkled her nose. It was for me and my friends. I'm Tiffany, by the way.
Manning.
The three of us went quiet. Where were you? I asked. She squinted against the sun behind us. It was obviously hurting her eyes. The mall. Nordstrom's anniversary sale is next month, so I was making a list of what I'm going to get. As Daddy says, it's good to be prepared. She glanced between the two of us. I'm sorry if she was bothering you. She's not supposed to be out here. My hairline prickled. Being made to sound like a child might be worse than getting sent back inside. Manning shook his head fractionally.
She wasn't bothering me.
It didn't sound convincing. My stomach clenched at the realization that maybe I was annoying him, and he'd just been too polite to say anything. My butt began to ache from the wall, but I stayed put. Tiffany was about to pull the plug on my afternoon, and I wanted to soak this up. The sun on my back, the sweat and dirt. Manning. I hadn't realized until now how little I'd been outside this summer because of studying.
You work out here? Tiffany asked. One of your crew whistled at me yesterday.
I saw, Manning said. Did you hit it off?
With him? God, no. He's not my type.
Manning nodded.
Then it won't happen again. The catcalling.
Oh, it was no big deal, she shrugged, running a light fingertip along her collarbone. Manning, that's a cool name.
I had no say in it.
She laughed.
What about you, Manning? You have a girlfriend?
No.
You live around here?
Not that close.
How old are you?
23.
My gaze had been bouncing back and forth between them, and I did a double take. He wasn't even close to Tiffany's age. He might even be too old for her.
Want to come inside for a beer? Tiffany asked.
We weren't allowed to drink our parents' alcohol. It should have gone without mentioning since Tiffany wouldn't be 21 for two more years, but it had been said, more than once, since Tiffany had stolen from their stash before. I didn't know what would be a worse offense in my parents' eyes, drinking their alcohol or inviting one of the workers into their home. I would be sworn to secrecy afterward. I didn't like lying to my parents, but sometimes a teenage girl like my sister could be more menacing than anyone.
I'm working, Manning answered.
Tiffany closed one eye against the sun and smiled.
Doesn't look like it.
Lunch break.
I looked up at him. But you have no food.
I'm on a diet.
Tiffany laughed. I drew my brows together. Was that a joke? He didn't seem like the funny type, but it was even less likely he'd go on a diet. I forced a chuckle as well.
Come inside, Tiffany said. Lake'll make you a sandwich. She makes the best ones.
Sorry,
he said. His eyes stayed on me.
I don't think your parents would like it.
I must have stared at him like I was seeing the sun for the first time, but I didn't know how to help that. I knew he shouldn't come in. I wanted him to. If he didn't, either Tiffany would leave and make me go with her, or she'd want to be alone with him.
I'll make you a sandwich, I blurted.
Manning looked over my head.
I can't.
Okay, fine.
Tiffany turned to nod at me.
Don't you have homework or something? Get lost.
Manning's dark eyes narrowed on Tiffany.
You talk to your sister that way?
She brushed hair from her neck, visibly reddening.
She knows I'm joking. Don't you, sis?
I nodded. Tiffany wasn't joking. Her thin smile and rigid back were a silent warning. Go away, or else. It wasn't fair, though. I'd been here first. I don't have any more homework. Tomorrow's my last day.
Oh.
Tiffany shifted feet.
I bet Manning would like it if you brought him a sandwich, then.
I figured Manning probably would like that. I didn't want to go, but Tiffany would find a way to get what she wanted. And at least this way, I'd be doing something for Manning, too.
Okay.
Manning sighed. He looked down at me and then over at Tiffany.
I'll come in, but I only have 20 minutes.
Tiffany grinned.
Cool.
Manning jumped down from the wall. I started to slide off, too, but he caught my waist at the last minute. His hands were so large, they nearly wrapped all the way around me. I got hot and cold all at once, doing everything in my power not to shiver so I wouldn't give myself away. He set me on the ground gently, like a porcelain statue on a shelf.
"It's not good for your ankles if you don't know how to jump," he told me.
"But you did it." He smiled a little.
"You always argue with someone who's looking out for you?"
Tiffany pulled on Manning's elbow. "Come on!" I followed them across the lot toward the house, the feel of his hands on my waist lingering. They were enormous and hot. They made me hot. My cheeks, my chest, all the way down between my legs. This time I did shiver, just replaying it in my head. Thankfully I was behind them, out of sight. Tiffany would think I was ridiculous for getting so excited over being helped off a wall. Just now, in less than 5 minutes, she'd gotten more information out of him than I had all afternoon. It was as if they were speaking a language I only sort of understood, like when the Brazilian exchange student in my Spanish class spoke Portuguese to confuse the teacher. In the entryway, Manning looked around. He seemed even bigger inside. We had vaulted ceilings, but I was sure if he stretched hard enough and jumped high enough, he could touch them. He looked as uncomfortable as I felt. I needed something to do with my hands. I needed to stop staring. Tiffany called us into the living room, where she was hunched over the mini refrigerator behind Dad's bar.
"We have Corona or Budweiser?"
"Should you be drinking when you're working?" I asked.
Manning had tipped his head back to take in my dad's impressive selection of liquor, but he dropped just his eyes to mine.
"No, I'll take a Coke if you've got it."
"Go make the sandwich, Lake," Tiffany said.
"What kind do you want?" I asked him. He spread his long fingers over his stomach, and for the first time, he grinned.
"I'll eat anything you make."
I couldn't help responding with my own smile. "All right, I'll make the Lake Special." Coined by my dad, the Lake Special consisted of sliced turkey and ham layered between cheddar and provolone cheese, smothered in mayonnaise and barbecue sauce, topped with lettuce, tomato, and avocado. For Manning, I'd add extra meat, since he had a hard job and looked big enough for two sandwiches. I pulled ingredients from the fridge, trying unsuccessfully to catch words from the conversation in the next room. I didn't want Tiffany to know more about him than I did. What if they talked about something personal, got closer, while I was in here fussing with deli meat? Once everything was laid out in front of me and I could no longer stand the idea of them alone together, I called out, "It's almost ready!" Manning entered the kitchen and walked around the island where I stood slicing an avocado. For one brief moment, his heat warmed my back, and then it was gone. He washed his hands, took a stool on the opposite side of the island, and nodded approvingly.
"That is a monster sandwich."
"Well, you're a big person," I said without thinking. "Not that you're fat. Obviously you're not." I focused on placing the avocado in neat slices across the meat to disguise my awkwardness. Nobody in my life was double my size, but pointing it out felt rude.
"You don't have to eat it all."
"I won't leave a crumb."
I looked up at him. Manning sat still, just watching as I built his sandwich. We exchanged a smile right before Tiffany came in, set the sodas down, and reached across the island to pluck some avocado from the sandwich.
"Are you from here, Manning?"
she asked, taking the seat next to him. With a frown, I took a fresh avocado from the fruit basket. Tiffany never made her own food, so she didn't respect the art of presentation. I cut into the gnarly skin as Manning eyed the knife in my hand.
"Want me to do that?"
he asked. "I do it all the time."
"Los Angeles area,"
he answered Tiffany.
"Really?"
she pressed.
"Sort of. Pasadena."
"Do you have family here?"
"No."
I pretended to mind my own business. It hadn't crossed my mind to ask where he was from. I placed a slice of sourdough bread on top of the sandwich, cut it down the middle, and admired my work. In two halves, the sandwich nearly toppled over.
"You might not be able to hear it, but my stomach's grumbling," Manning said.
Tiffany giggled.
"Almost done."
I took a jar of pickles from the fridge, gripped the lid, and twisted. Nothing happened. I flexed my hand and tried again, putting more muscle behind it. The top didn't budge.
"So no girlfriend and no family. Why Orange County? When did you move here?"
Manning took the jar from me, popped it open, and handed it back. When I turned 18. I like the weather.
I loosened it for you, I said as I concentrated on selecting the best pickle in the jar.
I know, he said.
What do you like to do for fun? Tiffany asked.
What do you mean?
Manning cracked his neck, his eyes conspicuously on the sandwich, as if it might grow legs and make a run for it. You're annoying him, I said to Tiffany.
I'm annoying him, she shot back. What do you know about anything, Lake?
I ignored her. For some reason, making Manning's food had made me brave, invincible. I had something he wanted. Once I was happy with the placement and position of everything on the plate, I slid it across the counter. Manning grabbed the sandwich and dug in. I watched, rapt, as he finished half in 4 bites. After swallowing, he took one long swig of soda, his Adam's apple bobbing up and down. He must have downed half of it.
This is the best sandwich I've ever had.
The way I grinned, I probably looked like an idiot, but I didn't even care.
I told you she makes a good sandwich.
Tiffany leaned over and bumped her shoulder against Manning's.
Didn't I tell you?
Manning nodded and wiped his mouth on his shoulder sleeve. I handed him a paper towel.
Are you in college?
Tiffany asked. I couldn't believe she was so brazen, touching him like he belonged to her, asking him personal questions. I'd put up with my sister for 16 years, but suddenly I found her unbearably obnoxious.
Are you?
I asked.
Shut up, Lake. Why don't you go play with your dolls?
My face heated. Manning looked between both of us as he chewed. I don't play with dolls, I told him.
You have stuffed animals on your bed, Tiffany said. You're like a 5-year-old.
No, I'm not, I said in a panic. I didn't need Manning thinking I was any more childish than he probably already did.
Mom put those there. I don't even like them. Just go away already, Tiffany said.
Manning chewed his food calmly, but when he spoke, his words were sharp, delivered in a level, deep voice that left no room for argument.
I told you before, don't talk to your sister like that.
We both shut our mouths, but Tiffany glared at me. I felt it, even when I looked away.
You must not have siblings,
Tiffany said airily, glancing sideways at him.
We fight like that all the time. It doesn't mean anything.
He has a sister, I said, excited to be in possession of information Tiffany wasn't.
Is she in L.A.?
Tiffany asked, giving me her shoulder to face Manning.
No.
He wiped his mouth with the paper towel and finished off his soda. His plate was empty.
I should get back to work.
My heart dropped into my stomach. It was over already? I wasn't ready to say goodbye.
Do you want another sandwich?
He stood and rubbed his stomach.
I don't want to say no, but no, thanks, though.
Okay. I shifted on my feet. Need some help out there? He raised his brows at me. Again, I noticed the flex in his eyes, as if they were sparkling.
What are you going to do?
He teased.
You can't even lift most of the tools out there. Forget the materials.
I basked in the glow of his rare playfulness. Tiffany followed as he left the kitchen. I went to a window at the front of the house. Manning stood at the end of the drive with her. I willed him to acknowledge me. I was greedy. I'd spent a lot of time with him today, but I wanted more. He didn't look up, though. Instead, he said something to Tiffany. Whatever it was, it made her smile. Chapter 3. Lake. Just because my dad wasn't necessarily a large man didn't mean he wasn't scary. Chief operating officer at a pharmaceutical company, he was second in command at work and had final say on all things concerning the Kaplan family here at home. That worked okay for my mom and me. Mom knew how to manage his temperaments, sometimes with just a simple word or gesture. She said he had a sense of humor that most people didn't get. And I just did what he said. He was my dad. He knew better than I did. Tiffany was a different story. That night, after I'd helped Mom clear the dinner table, I passed by his study on my way to my room. It wasn't unusual for me to hear them arguing in there, but the mention of my name made me stop.
Lake deserves a night off, Tiffany was saying. More than that, she's been doing schoolwork all summer.
I don't expect you to understand the value of hard work, he said calmly. But your sister does. Don't interfere.
One night at the fun zone is hardly interfering, she said.
Over dinner, Tiffany had mentioned she was taking me to the fair that weekend. Dad had shut it down, worried I was losing focus because I was still reading The Grapes of Wrath after 2 weeks. After a weighty silence, my dad said,
Do you think I'm stupid, Tiffany? You honestly expect me to believe you want to spend a Saturday night playing arcade games with your little sister?
Yes, she said.
Tiffany acted tough most of the time, but I heard the hurt in her voice.
God only knows what you really have planned. Probably some unsupervised party at one of your degenerate friends' houses. The answer is no.
I frowned. Tiffany didn't have to be in there sticking up for me. She was telling the truth, after all.
She couldn't possibly be a better student, so why can't she have fun, too? Tiffany asked. I swear, we'll go right to Balboa and come home.
I don't believe you. And I tell you something, if I'd ever lied to my father, I would have gotten a beating for it.
Go ahead, then, beat me.
With a gasp, I put my hand on the doorknob to intervene. Fear made me hesitate. I rarely stood up to my dad. I wasn't even sure how he'd take it if I did.
Don't be ridiculous, he responded. Your mother and I have never laid a hand on you. In fact, we let you do whatever the hell you want. All I'm asking is that you leave your sister alone. She's on track to get everything she wants, and I'll kick you out of this house before I let you drag her down.
You're such a jerk, Tiffany said. All you care about is Lake. If I left tomorrow, you wouldn't even notice.
I certainly would, but you won't. You need money and a job to move out. That shouldn't be too hard, or so one would think.
My heart beat double time. I didn't want Tiffany to leave. She could be difficult, yes, but I liked knowing she was in the next room. I knew no matter what, if I really, truly needed her, she'd be there. I jumped back as Tiffany blew out of the study and upstairs. After a few seconds, her door slammed. I wasn't sure what to do, comfort her or keep my distance. Mom appeared from the kitchen, wiping her hands on a dish towel.
Everything all right?
They got in a fight, I said. She glanced toward the staircase. Give your sister some space, she said, turning back. She'll calm down.
Lake, Dad called. Get in here.
I had no reason to be nervous, but my mouth suddenly went dry. Tiffany was both stupid and brave for regularly picking fights with my dad. I didn't consider myself either of those things. I peered into the study. Dad sat at his desk, tinkering with his new computer. We were only allowed in there when he was home. He had important papers and files that couldn't be disturbed, and as of a few weeks ago, we were most definitely not to go near the study. He purchased the IBM he said was worth more than me. After a month of debate over whether he actually needed a personal computer, he'd let me go with him to pick it out. He'd spent 2 days just setting it up, and that night he let me watch as he'd moved icons around, opening them, showing me what he'd called the future in a box. I crept into the room.
When will you get your summer school grades?
He asked, rubbing the bridge of his nose.
It's unacceptable that we have to wait at all.
Not for a couple weeks, I said. But I'll get an A+ in both classes.
You're sure?
Yes. He breathed in so deeply his chest expanded. With his exhale, he relaxed back into his leather chair.
That's my girl. What would I do without you?
I furrowed my brows.
What do you mean?
Just that I don't think I would have survived another emotional teenager. You're like me. Focused. Logical.
He leaned his elbows on the desk.
Now, let's talk about the reading list. You're falling behind?
I wasn't as dramatic as my sister, but I hadn't considered I might be more like my dad. If I was a little of both, where did that put me?
This book is just longer than the others, I said.
You had no trouble with Catch-22. That's a big one.
Because I liked it.
You liked it?
For whatever reason, that seemed to surprise him.
So did I. But not liking a book isn't a reason to hold up the whole list.
I recalled my conversation with Manning earlier about reading what I wanted, not what was required. Maybe I could take a break and read something for fun.
There'll be a lot you won't want to read in college. Just push through, Lake.
He turned back to his computer, effectively dismissing me.
Besides, I'd like you to finish so I can give you my own list.
That was my summer in a nutshell. I didn't need to ask why it had to be packed with schoolwork. I already knew. USC wasn't looking for the type of student who finished some or most of her reading list. They wanted the ones who went above and beyond, who had a second list. And it wasn't that I didn't want to do it. I loved to read. But maybe Manning and Tiffany were right. Would it be so bad if I did something that wasn't mandated by my dad, like picked up a book that interested me or took a night off?
I want to go to the fair, I said. With Tiffany.
He inspected the bottom of the handheld bulbous device that attached to the computer. A mouse, he'd called it, which had made me giggle.
I already said no.
I've been working really hard, Dad. I did summer school, I've been reading or studying nonstop, and next month I'm volunteering to be a camp counselor again. Shouldn't I get to have a little fun before summer ends?
He looked up. You know who has fun? Your sister. Do you want to turn out like her? No job, no money, living with us after high school? She had a chance to read the same books and get the same education you are, but she chose to goof off instead.
At times, his disappointment in her seemed unfair. As long as I could remember, he'd expected little of her and a lot of me. I was just fulfilling his expectations. Wasn't it possible she was doing the same? Before I could decide whether or not to defend her, he sighed.
You can go to Balboa, and that's it. Come straight home after.
I smiled. Thanks, Daddy. I'll finish the book by then, promise. I went directly from his study to knock on Tiffany's door. Her music was up loud, so I had to pound a little harder.
Go away, she said.
It's me.
I know.
I entered, even though Tiffany might eviscerate me, to tell her the good news. She lay on her bed, a pillow over her face.
What do you want?
I stayed by the door in case she threw anything. She'd once broken the receiver of her touchtone because Dad had blown up over the phone bill. I couldn't tell if she was crying. Usually when she did, it was loud enough for all of us to hear. Tiffany didn't really see the point of crying if nobody knew about it. Dad's letting us go out Saturday night.
I should have just had you ask in the first place. Duh. You always get what you want.
I'd tried to do something nice, and now I was the bad guy. Because I actually had something to bargain with. I'm doing well in school, so I get to ask for things. Maybe you should try to do something, too. She grabbed the pillow and flopped it on the bed next to her.
Like what?
I don't know. Get a job?
I barely got through high school.
You're exaggerating, I said. Your grades just weren't up to Dad's impossible standards. You should just try to find something, even if it's part-time.
Where?
I rubbed my nose. How about Nordstrom? You spend enough time there anyway. She blinked up at the ceiling. I thought I saw a hint of a smile.
At the mall the other day? This guy asked if I was a model. Maybe I could do that.
Like, as a career?
Have you heard of Claudia Schiffer? She asked. Or Linda Evangelista? She doesn't wake up for less than $10,000 a day.
Tiffany was beautiful. There was no denying it. Truthfully, I couldn't think of anyone I knew personally who was prettier than my older sister. But I wasn't sure I could picture her walking the runways like the models in her coveted magazines. I think you have to be, like, 5'8", I said. Or at least 5'7", like Kate Moss.
I am 5'7", she balked at me. You and I are the same height.
I wasn't getting into that argument again. Mom had measured us both months ago, but despite the evidence, Tiffany insisted she wasn't a half inch shorter than me.
Maybe you could model for Nordstrom, like in their catalogs, I suggested. You think?
Her eyes lit up.
Then I'd get free stuff.
I don't think you get free stuff, I pointed out, although I wasn't sure.
Do you? You get an employee discount, so it's practically free.
So you'll try then? Maybe go down there and see how it works? She didn't answer. I picked up the CD case next to her stereo. Gin Blossoms. The bands she listened to always had strange names, like Pink Floyd. Was Floyd a person or a thing? If it was a thing, was it always pink?
or did it come in different colors? I wanted to ask, but she might have noticed Manning's shirt, too, and then she'd want to know why I cared. But if it meant not embarrassing myself in front of him again, then I'd take that risk. Do you know who Pink Floyd is?
Yep,
she said. Do you have their CD? I asked. I might have a tape I took from this guy I used to see. He was into them. Will you play it for me?
What am I, your servant? She asked, but smiled.
Maybe later. Where'd you hear about them?
She must not have noticed Manning's shirt after all.
At school.
Of course. I hate when good stuff goes mainstream, you know?
I didn't know.
Are they new?
No. Even Mom and Dad know Pink Floyd. But when high school kids start talking about it, then it's really not cool.
I guess Tiffany had forgotten she only graduated high school a year ago.
She sniffled, staring up at the ceiling.
Are you okay? I asked.
Why?
Because of what Dad said.
Oh, yeah. He can be such an asshole.
I put the CD down and went to sit on the edge of her bed. He just has a bad way of showing he cares.
Whatever, Tiffany muttered. Honestly, it could be worse. I could be you.
Me?
I asked.
What's that mean?
At least he mostly leaves me alone.
That was true. Dad and Tiffany fought, but he'd stopped trying to get her to do most things. She no longer came home by curfew or pretended she didn't drink or paid for her own gas. That had lasted less than a month.
But you, she continued, he'll be on your case nonstop for at least 6 more years, all the way through college. It's only going to get worse as you start applying to schools.
I didn't think of it like that. I was lucky to have someone who cared as much as I did, more even, about getting me into the school of my dreams.
Maybe once I get into USC, he'll back off both of us, I said.
Have you thought about any other schools? Her hair looked soft, fanned out over the comforter. I ran my fingers through it.
Not really.
Maybe you should, just to be sure. There are a lot more options than SC.
I shook my head. It's always been my first choice.
I know.
She looked away.
As long as it's what you want, and you're not doing it just for Dad.
She sounded concerned, and that didn't happen a lot. But she'd grown up in the room next to mine. She knew I had a drawer full of USC merchandise, and that Dad and I had toured the campus once a year since I was 10.
It is.
She turned back to me. By the way, Manning's coming to the fair with us. My fingers stilled in her hair.
What?
He's so serious. I was hoping he'd ask me out, but when he didn't, I told him about Saturday, and he's never been to Balboa Island. Can you believe it?
I needed to blink or swallow. I just stared at her with a dry mouth. An evening with Manning excited me. But were they going on a date?
No. He hadn't asked her. And brave as Tiffany was, she didn't want to seem desperate. That's what she'd said earlier about making the first move, anyway.
What about Brad?
Who?
The guy you were hoping would call.
Oh, she shrugged. I talked to him this afternoon. I'm not sure how I feel about him.
I didn't ask if that had anything to do with Manning, afraid she'd say yes. How would I respond to that?
She sat up.
Isn't Manning gorgeous? I should hang around you more often. You're good luck.
My neck and cheeks flushed. I loved my sister. She probably knew me as well as my mom. Regardless, hearing her call Manning gorgeous made my ears hot. I'd thought he was handsome before she'd even met him. Didn't that count for something? Just because I didn't fawn all over him didn't mean it was okay for her to.
I can't believe he's from Los Angeles, Tiffany said. It sounds so glamorous.
Pasadena's outside of L.A.
Guys my age just don't get me, you know? It's bad when you have more experience than a guy.
What do you mean? Tiffany smiled a little, watching me.
Sex?
My face got even hotter. I didn't know what to say. Last year I'd aced an AP English test most of my classmates had flunked. I could recite pi to the 15th digit. I'd made principal's honor roll the last 2 years. But on this topic, I knew hardly anything. I didn't hang around with any girls who'd had sex yet. They weren't in my classes. They didn't belong to the clubs I did. They were like Tiffany.
I don't want to know, I said. I'm not interested.
You will be soon,
she grinned as she looked over my face, which was surely red. I could never hide my blushing.